Supplicate to me, I will accept it.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. My dear respected viewers of Madani Chan, we once again welcome you in our program called Dua. In this program, we talk about Dua. Inshallah, today we'll be talking about Aqwal and sayings of our pious predecessors about Dua. Very interesting information, inshallah, we'll be sharing with you. Be with us from start to end, inshallah, you'll be learning a lot. Before we proceed towards our topic of the day, let me explain to you that inshallah, we will have a few segments in this program also. We'll be learning one dua from Quran. We'll have a package, inshallah, a message of the day. And we will include one personality in our program, inshallah, we will talk about the seed of that personality. And today, inshallah, we'll be talking about Data Ali Hajveri, rahmatullahi ta'ala, alayh. It's a beautiful program with beautiful segments, inshallah, let's take a few good intentions before we proceed. Inshallah, I make this intention, I will present this program for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're watching, you can make this intention, you will watch from start to end, you'll remember what you learn, act upon and pass this knowledge on to others too, inshallah, remember, the more intentions one makes for a particular task or a deed, he can easily multiply the reward. Inshallah, you can make as many good intentions as possible. We've got our brothers with us, alhamdulillah, Muballigh of Dawat Islami, Brother Muhammad Wasim Abbas with me. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Marhaba Wasim Abbas, once again, welcome to the program. And inshallah, we'll be talking about the program. The topic, inshallah, as well. And we've got our brother, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Arif bhai, how are you?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Masha'Allah. Speaking of this, let's start our program with a beautiful naat of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Praise of Mustafa Kareem alayhi salatu wa salam. And this kalam which a brother is going to recite is written by Al Hazrat Imam Ash-Shah, Imam Ahmed Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman. Please.
Sallu al Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Wahi Rab hai jisne tujhko hamatan karam banaya hame bheek maangne ko tera aastaan bataya tujhe hamd hai khudaya tujhe hamd hai khudaya tujhe hamd hai khudaya tujhe hamd hai khudaya tum hi hakim e baraya tum hi qasim e ataya tum hi qasim e ataya tum hi dafa'e balaya tum hi dafa'e balaya tum hi shafa'e khataya koi tum sa kaun aaya koi tum sa kaun aaya koi tum sa kaun aaya tujhe hamd hai khudaya wo kawari pak maryam wo nafakhtu fih kadam wo nafakhtu fih kadam hai ajab nishan azam hai ajab nishan azam مگر آمنا کا جایا وہی سب سے افضل آیا وہی سب سے افضل آیا وہی سب سے افضل آیا تجھے حمد ہے خدایا یہی بولے سدرا والے چمنے جہاں کے تھالے چمنے جہاں کے تھالے سبھی میں نے چھان ڈالے سبھی میں نے چھان ڈالے تیرے پائے کا نہ پایا تجھے یک نے یک بنایا تجھے یک نے یک بنایا تجھے یک نے یک بنایا تجھے حمد ہے خدایا ہمیں اے رضا تیرے دل کا پتا چلا بمشکل کا پتا چلا بمشکل در روزہ کے مقابل در روزہ کے مقابل وہ ہمیں نظر تو آیا یہ نہ پوچھ کیسا پایا یہ نہ پوچھ کیسا پایا یہ نہ پوچھ کیسا پایا تجھے حمد ہے خدایا تجھے حمد ہے خدایا تجھے حمد ہے خدایا تجھے حمد ہے خدایا تجھے حمد ہے خدایا
ماشاءاللہ بیوٹیفل کلام وچ also mentions the hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well as praise of Mustafa Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam at the same time. Respected viewers, now it's the time to include our segment and that is dua. Let's include segment dua. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ud'uni
Supplicate to me, I will accept it.
Respected viewers, last episode we covered things aqwal of Buzurgaradeen, our pious predecessors, what they have said about dua. And we were learning that, inshallah, we will continue the same topic, inshallah, today as part two of this program called dua. And Wasim al-Masmai, we were talking about in the last episode that ulama, they have said that there are certain occasions when person should not make dua and there are certain occasions he or she must make dua. But then again there was some sort of takhsis, specification that who shall not make dua and who shall keep on making dua. Could you please give us a little bit of background of what we were talking in the last episode and inshallah we'll continue so that the viewers of Madani Channel, those that have joined us now, they can catch us inshallah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear Zanvi, as we were talking in our last episode regarding dua and another beautiful dimension which ulama have mentioned, which is specific to the elite individuals, to the chosen servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where they don't supplicate in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this mindset that whatever Allah Almighty has destined for me, I'm content upon it. And my Lord Almighty, He knows the best for me. Rather than me asking Him for something, He Almighty is my creator, He is my sustainer, He is my Lord Almighty, He knows the best for me. And then there were various verses of the Quran that we touched upon, which ulama have mentioned, and they've also given the references of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam, that what their conduct was in this regard. And the awliya karam rahimahumullah, they also had the same practice where they would not ask in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the mindset of being content upon whatever Allah Almighty has destined for them, they are content upon them. So this, in a summary, in a nutshell, was what we discussed about in our last episode. And continuing this discussion further is one way. Ulama, they've categorized it further.
Yes.
And a very beautiful discussion. Very beautiful discussion they carry on to make. There's some ulama, they, despite these reasons that we mentioned in our previous episode, that besides them and keeping those benefits in sight, they consider asking dua to be better and superior in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right. Now, the other dimension, or you can say sub-dimension within the dimension that we were talking about, is coming over here, where ulama are also talking about asking dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just in case we don't get a wrong message that we shouldn't be asking in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ulama have also penned down beautiful discussion regarding this very subject as well, just to make sure that we don't deviate from the right path. The discussion we made in the previous episode, we need to make sure that we understand that
there should be tatbiq, so there should be a balanced approach in this regard.
Balanced approach, and one should be at that level where he can understand whether it is better for him to make dua or to leave dua.
Because there is one call of ulama kiram that one should ask a fatwa from the heart.
Jee.
That what shall I do? Whether shall I make on this occasion dua or I should not make the dua?
Jee.
But then again, ulama, they mention that who is capable of asking this fatwa from the heart? Because common people, they won't be able to ask this fatwa, and maybe their heart won't guide them truly and rightly.
Jee.
And this is again the elite class, or those elite, when we say in the context what we are talking about, those they are closer in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, awliya Allah. And you know, when they ask from their heart that on this particular occasion, what is right and what is not right, I mean, what shall I ask from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or on this particular occasion, I shall not ask. That's what you're talking about, yeah?
Ji, and inshallah, we'll touch upon this very subject as well, that what is the reason behind this?
Jee.
That who are those people who should be asking their heart for a judgment, for a verdict, whether they are eligible to ask for dua at a certain occasion or whether they should leave it. But ulama mentioned a beautiful thing, to keep a beautiful balance. They say that it is better to verbally make the dua, and in the heart, he should remain content upon the destiny that Allah Almighty has decreed for him. This way, he'll get best of both sides.
Yeah.
This way, he'll get both the benefits. And then further, ulama, they mention that when a person is making dua, and his dua includes any personal benefit, something that would benefit him personally, then he should leave dua and stay content upon the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the destiny that Allah Almighty has decreed for him, staying content upon it is superior. However, when there is a dua that includes the upholding of deen, the upholding of Islam, or any benefit for any Muslim brother, any Muslim, then it is better for him to make dua. How beautiful this is. Then when it comes to your personal self, then show the level of reliance, tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then show that element that I'm content upon the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I won't supplicate in the court of Allah Almighty. But when my dua includes the upholding of Islam, when it includes betterment or benefit for any Muslim, then we should make dua. And how beautiful Islam is, Rizwanvi, that when we supplicate for our fellow Muslim brother in their absence, then their dua is also accepted in our favor too. How beautiful that is. And we've been persuaded, encouraged to do this. So this is another distribution, another division that ulama have made, that whenever you make dua, we should ponder upon it, whether our dua contains only our personal benefit or it contains any benefit for our Muslim brothers or sisters or the upholding of Islam. Then carrying further this discussion, now we're coming to the point of the fatwa of the heart that you were referring to, that the ulama, they are saying over here that when we are talking about this entire discussion, when we are talking about all these categories, whether we should ask dua or we should leave dua, whether we should ask for the benefit of others, and when it comes to our personal self, we should remain content upon the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these categories are in front of us. Whenever we are making dua, we should try to see which category does our dua fall into to see whether we should supplicate or not supplicate. However, over here, how would we judge this? How would we see that which category of a dua is falling into?
And that?
Now over here, ulama, they say that you should ask your heart the verdict for this, fatwa for this. However, this is only specific for awliya karam rahimahumullah.
Right.
Only for awliya. And now there are many reasons for this.
Yeah.
Why? Because the subject that you touched upon,
yeah,
that a common person, he does not fall into this ruling. He does not fall into this category that he should be asking his heart for the fatwa, for this very verdict, whether he should make dua
for
over here or not.
For him, it's better to make dua.
Indeed. Yeah. For him, it's better to make dua. Why? The reason that ulama mentioned over here is that because a common man, a common person, is unable to distinguish and differentiate between satanic whispers, the ploys of Satan, and the other tricks of Satan.
Yeah.
A person cannot differentiate between them and what is obviously good for him, whether it is a satanic whisper, whether it is a ploy of Satan, so and so forth. Whereas awliya karam rahimahumullah, they possess this faculty.
They are aware of that.
They are aware of this. So of course they are on this station, on this level, that they can ask their heart, and their heart will rightly guide them whether they should supplicate in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or whether they should abandon making dua at that very moment of time, because that would be backed up by their knowledge. Because remember, every wali is a scholar, but every scholar is not a wali.
Yes.
Having knowledge is fundamental, is one of the conditions for being a wali, a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowledge is very, very important.
No doubt.
And this would be the knowledge of Quran and Hadith, which would make his heart give the right fatwa, whether the dua that he's about to make, which category does it fall into?
Yeah.
Whether it is better for him to remain quiet and remain content about the will of Allah Almighty, or it is better for him to make dua. As you said a little while ago, that for a common man, it is better for him to make dua. Ulama, they engage in this discussion further ahead, that for a common person, making dua is better, and then they start mentioning the fada'il, the virtues of asking dua, and some of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where we've been persuaded and encouraged to make dua.
A beautiful discussion. Respect to Yusuf Fadri Shahan, we are talking about dua, in specific when to make dua and when not to make dua. But again, there is a detailed discussion what we were touching upon. The sayings of ulama-i kiram, that's what we are doing. We're just mentioning those sayings, those aqwal which ulama have written in their books. We are just transferring that information to you. Now it's the time to include one segment in our program, and that is dua, which is Quranic dua, masnoon dua. Let's include that segment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ud'uni yastajib lakum.
Supplicate to me, I will accept it.
Respected viewers, today the dua, inshallah, we'll be learning. This is from Quran itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Holy Quran, they've been taught to make this dua. It is رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. O our Rabb, do not distract our hearts after you have guided us and bestow mercy on us from yourself. Indeed, you are the great bestower. What a beautiful dua it is. Respect to Yusuf Madinishan, if we can learn, we should learn this dua. We should memorize this dua. We should make this dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because qalb is known a organ, right? And that changes. The state of qalb keeps on changing. At one time, we will have different feelings. Later, maybe we'll have different feelings. That's why it is also said that if you make an intention to give sadaqah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do as soon as possible, because maybe later your qalb, your heart will change, and you change your mind that you not give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something that our qalb status, and sometimes due to sins, this heart gets rusted, and then we do not have any effect of nasiha. And if someone guides us towards righteous path, then we don't listen. And this is very important, to keep our heart healthy in terms of spiritual insight and feeling. And this is of tarbiyah of the heart, cleanliness of the heart is also important. And that is done through dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But again, this beautiful dua, what we've learned from Quran, it guides us that we need to make dua even if we are on hidayah, if we are on guidance. Alhamdulillah, we've got treasure of iman, treasure of Islam with us. Our iman is intact with us. But again, we need to make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, you have given us this treasure of iman, this asset of iman we have got. May we take this treasure with us when we depart from this mortal world. Ameen. When we live on Islam. When Ameen. We die on iman. Ameen. And O our Rabb, do not distract our hearts after you have guided us. Bestow mercy on us from yourself. Indeed, you are the great bestower. A beautiful dua to remain on straight path, steadfastness of the iman, as well as the seeking mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected viewers, before going to this segment, we're talking about the aqwal, sayings of our pious predecessors, awliya kiram, ulama kiram, what they have said about making dua. Wasim Basbek, further the discussion when it goes on, that mutlaqan, not making dua, is not what we are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In totality, if someone stops making dua, that's not what we are talking about. One should keep on making dua. This whole program, what we are doing, is about dua. This is what we are encouraging to the ummah, to the people, to the viewers of Madani Channel. This is the essence. This is the essence of our worship. And this is something which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should always make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But today, what we are talking about is a particular situation or occasion when ulama have said that on certain occasions for specific people, right, this discussion is going on. This is also a part of knowledge when we are learning, alhamdulillah. But in totality, we need to keep on making dua, and we are not negating mutlaqan not to make dua. Mm-hmm. Just let it be clear, this point also. Now, again, when we talk about that, how important is to make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we recite salah, when we offer salah, right, alhamdulillah, and it is mentioned that approximately every day, 20 times it is wajib to make dua, because ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim itself is a dua. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen itself is a dua.
Indeed.
Could you please elaborate on this?
Yes, subhanallah. And also, as you also mentioned in your discussion just now regarding dua, that the Quran and Hadith categorically guide us and encourage us to make dua, as dua is not only a form of worship, but essence of worship. Right. We need to understand that. And all our discussion in the previous episode, this episode is regarding a certain station of people. Yes. Once they attain that station,
and
then
certain occasion or situation.
And now, regarding the du'as that you touched upon, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has stated that أفضل الذكر لا إله إلا الله وأفضل الدعاء الحمد لله.
SubhanAllah.
This is a hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, that the most superior form of dhikr is لا إله إلا الله, and the most superior dua is Alhamdulillah.
And our salah, when we start fasting,
it starts with
this beautiful dua.
Indeed. And then furthermore, Rizwan, when we delve further into this discussion, we come to know that sending salat upon the Prophet, sending peace and salutations upon the Prophet is also dua, and it is according to the consensus of the ummah, it is fard upon every Muslim to send salawat upon the Prophet والسلام, at least once
in his lifetime.
In his lifetime. And according to the researches, according to Muhakkikin, whenever the Prophet والسلام's name is mentioned, then reciting durood then is wajib. And this is also sending durood upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is also a form of dua. And what we need to understand over here is that the aima of Shafi'i, the Shafi'i ulama, according to them, asking for dua 39 times a day would be fard.
Yeah, according to them.
According to them, it is fard. How is that? That there are 17 raka'ah, fard units of salah, raka'ah, every day. And in every rak'ah, Surah Fatiha is fard. And in Surah Fatiha, twice we are asking dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ihdina as-siratu al-mustaqim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We are making these duas. And in the last qa'da, the durood, the salawat that is sent upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that is also of dua. So we come to know of the importance of dua. And now again, the subject that you touched upon, just in case, if someone develops a mindset or misunderstands our entire discussion that not seeking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not asking in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then remember that the one who categorically denies supplicating in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, denies the concept of supplication in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking dua in the court of Allah Almighty, considering himself to be not in need of Allah Almighty, considering himself not to need to beseech or implore in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is kufr. This is disbelief. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself mentions in the Quran to supplicate Allah Almighty in Surah Mu'min, verse number 60, he says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ أَدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, that and your Lord has said, call upon me, I shall answer your prayer. And in the commentary of this verse, Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullah alayhi, he says in Tafsir Kabir that we know this for sure, that on the Day of Judgment, only the worship of Allah Almighty will benefit a person. That's why staying engaged in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very important task. And because the acts of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are of different forms, and dua is also one of the most excellent forms of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded over here to make dua in his court. Yeah. So we come to know that not only Allah Almighty is commanding us to make supplication in his court, but we come to know that this is an excellent form of worship which will benefit us on the Day of Judgment.
Yeah, and Wasir Rasmi, the point you were talking about, that those with arrogance, right, with takabbur, they think that they are not, they don't need the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, astaghfirullah ma'aballah. So, which is an extreme, what you talked about. There is ayah of Quran, if you could that.
It's the same ayah.
Okay. You just already mentioned.
Jiji. Okay. Surah Mu'min, verse number 60. Yeah. The first part is, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And then it is said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ.
There is wa'id for them.
This admonition, a wa'id for this, that certainly those who become arrogant with regard to worshipping me, soon they will enter hell, Allah, humiliated.
And here ibadat is referred to dua.
Jee,
this is also something important.
Jee, when it is said, become arrogant with regard to worshipping me,
worship,
according to Mufassirin, the worshipping over here means making dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
This, so is, if someone denies mutlaqan, the in totality, dua not to be made and not to ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a wa'id for that, and the hukum would be very extreme. May Allah ta'ala protect us, and we are always humble in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to always ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should keep on making dua. And this is what this program is all about, to encourage you and all of us to make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll continue this beautiful discussion inshallah, which is very learned discussion too, ulama, what they have said, and alhamdulillah, we are just sharing that knowledge with you. Respectfully, now it's the time to include one segment in our program, and we have got one package, message of the day for you. Let's listen what message we've got for you today. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
ادعوني أستجب لكم.
Supplicate to me, I will accept it.
Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam has stated that inna Allah ta'ala yib'athu lihadihi al-umma ala ra'si kulli mi'ati sanatin مَنْ يُجَدِّدُ لَهَا دِينَهَا. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends to this ummah after every 100 years somebody who shall revive the religion. Ala Hazrat rahmallahu ta'ala, he has many titles, Ala Hazrat itself being one of them, Imam of the Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah. He is a mujaddid, yes, a reviver of the traditions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is a protector of the faith, and from amongst all of these things, he is also a great muhaddith, There was a scholar by the name of Hazrat Shaykh Wasi' Surti rahimahullah ta'ala, who's a great muhaddith. A muhaddith is a person who relays a hadith sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would give dars, he would teach the hadith sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahih Bukhari, the most authentic book of hadith sharif, he taught for 40 years. 40 years, my dear viewers. And he had memorized the entire Sahih Bukhari. Allahu Akbar. Such an individual, this great Shaykh, this great Muhaddith, had also given Ala Hazrat a title. What was this? This was in relation to Hadith Sharif. Amirul Mu'mineen fil Ahadith. He was the meaning, and what is the Amirul Mu'mineen? That person who possesses the most knowledge and precedence over others in this particular field of Hadith Sharif. Subhanallah, Ala Hazrat. And this is why we call him Ala Hazrat, Subhanallah. This individual was a mujaddid, he was a faqih, he was a scholar of many sciences, and from amongst those, he was also a muhaddith and Amir al-Mu'mineen fil Ahadith.
Subhanallah. My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, we were learning about Ala Hazrat Shah Imam Ahmed Raza Khan, Ali Rahmat Rahman, Mujaddid. Subhanallah. Beautiful. Information we learned about Allah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And there are so many dimensions of the dhat of Imam Ahmed Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman, and we are alhamdulillah presenting so many programs on his seerah and biography. You can watch various programs. One Wasim Abbas Bhai has also done, what's the name for that?
Imam Ahmed Raza Khan Guide to Light.
Yeah, Imam Ahmed Raza Khan Guide to Light, you can watch that. And there are other programs also on Madani Channel right now, you can learn about this great personality. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, come back to our topic, what we are discussing, that is dua. And we were talking about a few ayahs of Quran, and we also learned about the sayings of ulama ikram. Wasim Abbas Bhai, the ikhtilaf of making dua and not making dua, ulama they've got. Could you please further elaborate what ulama they say on that?
SubhanAllah. Regarding the difference of opinion that ulama have regarding whether they should make dua or not, it is regarding specific occasions
only.
We need to make this we need to understand this,
yes,
that this difference of opinion regarding making dua or not is only pertaining to certain occasions,
exceptional occasions.
Otherwise, there's no difference of opinion in asking dua categorically in totality. There's no difference of opinion on this fact.
We should always make dua.
And in relation to those verses and hadith in which the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been mentioned, the admonition of Allah's wrath has been mentioned to be inflicted upon those people who abandon dua, then this refers to those people who consider themselves to be independent of Allah Almighty's need.
And they do it mutlaqan.
They categorically, in totality, they deny the concept of dua, and they consider themselves to be needless. Yeah. Of asking dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is very important for us to understand that this difference of opinion of ulama, this is only regarding specific occasions, whether dua should be asked or not, not in totality. On the other side, dua has been encouraged, we've been encouraged and persuaded to make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we've heard about the severe ruling regarding those who deny the concept of dua in totality completely. This is very, very severe.
Finally, Wasim Abbas Bhai, there is one term called tafweez. And how would you explain that, and what ulama they have said about that?
This is
when you talk about dua.
Just to make things simpler and easier.
Yeah, for the viewers of
that. Very briefly, I'll try to mention this, because when we ask for dua, there are multiple things. Just several things that we ask for. So if what we are asking for is a very good thing, or in other words, you can say if it is mandatory for us, essential for us, then of course we should ask for it. And then if there's something which is detrimental for us, in fact seeking refuge from it is mandatory for us, then we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for its refuge. For example, the love of Allah Almighty, the love of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the passion to have Jannah, so and so forth, the love of Iman, dying upon Iman, so and so forth. And on the other hand, being safeguarded from the punishment of fire, being safeguarded from the punishment of the grave, from being safeguarded from having a bad end, so and so forth. We
seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from all these things. So we need to understand, again, whilst we're discussing this very subject, that ulama, they've mentioned over here that something that is positive, in fact mandatory for us, we should ask for it, and something that is mandatory for us to that is detrimental for us, like hellfire, so and so forth, we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from those very aspects.
Respected viewers of Madinah Shalom, after having this discussion in detail, alhamdulillah, mentioning, citing references of ulama and kiram before you, end of the day, I would like to explain this final point for the viewers of Madinah Shalom, for the common people, that you should keep on making dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because people like us who are common people, it is hard for us to differentiate when to avoid and when to make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is our Rabb Azza wa Jal, He is Rahman, He is Rahim, He loves if someone makes dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He has said, ask from me, I will answer your prayer. So we should ask in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are so many ahadith and verses of Quran which are there, which encourage us to make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in simple words, in simplicity, we should keep on making dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, we will see its benefit in this dunya, not only in this dunya, but hereafter, on the day of judgment, when a person will see the benefit of the du'as he had made in his dunya, which were not accepted, and the reward he will see on the day of judgment, he would wish, if only none of my dua were accepted in dunya, and all the reward I would have taken here in the hereafter. So this is a total benefit, win-win situation. You will get benefit in this dunya and definitely in the hereafter. We should keep on making dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respective views of Madinah Shalom, and now it's a time to include our segment, which is a personality. Inshallah, today's personality. Let's include that segment. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi.
ادعوني استجب لكم.
Supplicate to me, I will accept it.
Yes, my dear respected viewers of Madinah Shalom, today, alhamdulillah, we have selected a beautiful personality in the history of Islam, subhanallah, and who is very much famous with the title of Data Ali Hajveri. Subhanallah. First of all, I would like to ask Muzeem Basmai if you could give us a brief introduction. This personality is known with his title, right? Very famous with his title, but what is his original and actual name, and the initial biography, introduction of his life, and then inshallah we'll further learn a few Madani pearls from his seerah.
Subhanallah. Rizwanday Data Ganjbakhsh Hajveri, Rahmatullah Alayh. A legendary figure in the history of Islam, a monumental figure in the history of Islam, and someone who is the pioneers, someone who is the who became the wasila, the reasons for the Indian subcontinent to have Islam flourished over there. It was by the virtue of his devotion, his migration, his devoted life that we see the Indian subcontinent to be flourishing with the garden orchard of Islam today, alhamdulillah. Hazur Data Ganjbakhsh Hajveri, rahmatullah alayh, the personality, the merits, the excellences that we see in his personality are amazing, are countless. Very quickly, if we run through his biography, we come to know that Data Ganjbakhsh Hajveri, rahmatullah alayh, his kunya was Abul Hasan, his name was Ali. Ali was his name, and his title was Data Ganjbakhsh. And we will come to know, inshallah, how his title became Data Ganjbakhsh and who gave him this title. But Sayyidi Data Ganjbakhsh Hajveri, rahmatullah alayh, he was Najibut Tarafain Sayyid. He was Hassani and Husseini Sayyid. From the side of his father, he was Hassani Sayyid, and from the side of his mother, he was Husseini Sayyid. So he possessed the Hassani beauty and Husseini excellence, both together. And when we talk about his various excellences, they're beyond our beyond the comprehension of our intellect. Having one excellence is one thing, but excelling in that excellence is another matter.
Having knowledge is one thing, but being at the peak of knowledge, wow, being practicing upon your knowledge, that's another factor. Sure. And Data Ganjbakh Shajwari rahmatullah alayh fully was adherent to both these factors. Whatever excellence we talk about, we will see him to be at the climax of that, sure, very attribute of his. Sayyidi Data Ganjbakh Shajwari rahmatullah alayh was born in Ghazni in around 400 Hijri, and his parents, they resided in the area called Hajwer. That's why with this affiliation he's also called Hajweri. And his blessed household, what a beautiful household he had. His father was amongst the most elite scholars of the time. His mother was one of the most pious women of that era. And within this beautiful environment, Data Ganjbakhsh Hajwari rahmatullah alayh was brought up in the light of the teachings of Quran and Sunnah. And Ghazni in that time, during the time of his father, Sayyidina Uthman rahmatullah alayh, that had become the center of knowledge. Elite scholars, the elite poets, the elite individuals, figures of Islam, they migrated to Ghazni during that time and they resided there. So Ghazni had become the center of knowledge, and Sayyidina Uthman rahmatullah alayh, he also resided over there and brought up his child, Sayyidina Data Ganjbakhsh Shajwari rahmatullah alayh, within Ghazni. Right. And you can imagine that the household is full of knowledge, piety, taqwa, whatever you want to name, it was full of that. And the area that he was living in, there were the most renowned scholars living in that area. And Data Ganjbakhsh Hajwari rahmatullah alayh, we come to know that he traveled several cities, various cities,
to seek knowledge.
But to seek knowledge.
Subhan.
This was his ultimate goal. And how many teachers he sought knowledge from is beyond our imagination. Just in one city, Rizwanbhai, in Khurasan, Sayyidi Data Ganjbakhsh Hajwari rahmatullah alayh acquired knowledge from 300 scholars.
Allahu,
you can imagine, 300 scholars. And when we say scholars, they are elite scholars. Imagine someone who's teaching Data Ganjbakhsh Hajwari rahmatullah alayh. Subhanallah. What would be the rank of those teachers? So Sayyidi Data Ganjbakhsh Hajwari rahmatullah alayh, he sought knowledge from 300 teachers only in one city, bear in mind. And he traveled to several other cities. So you can imagine how much knowledge he would have possessed and what would be his academic brilliance. What would be the state of his knowledge that he possessed. And then when we carry further regarding the attributes that he possessed, his humility, his humbleness, and his passion to forgive the Ummah, the passion to serve the Ummah, that is also remarkable, that was second to none. It is stated regarding in his Seerah, Rizwanbhai, that when Data Ganjbakhsh Hajwari rahmatullah alayh, he was young, what was his practice? Whenever he would have any academic difficulty, he would visit the shrine of a saint, of a waliullah rahmatullah alayh, and his complication would be removed. And in the search of to resolve one of the complications, he also traveled and he spent 3 months at the blessed shrine of Sayyidina Bayezid Bistami rahmatullah alayh. And then he further says that he spent time in that court in such a manner that he would stay in the state of wudu at all the time. But his that very complication of his did not get resolved. And then he says that he traveled towards Khurasan, another area, wearing very rundown clothes. And on the way, a village came, and he rahmatullah alayh decided to stay over there overnight. Now, he rahmatullah alayh, he is mentioning about the state that he, the situation that he came across over there. There were certain people over there who were very prosperous. They were very wealthy, and they asked him that who you are, in a very rude manner, you can say. And he explained everything and he said, you seem to be a Sufi to us, you know, like people make fun, so and so forth. Anyhow, he and Rahma told them his purpose of visit and he said, I want to spend the night. They said, okay. And they brought him and made him stay at the lower level. They themselves went on the upper level. And when the time for food came, they gave him a bread which had fungus on it. And they themselves were eating lavish food and everything. And afterwards, they were eating melons, and they were throwing the peels on Sayyidina Data Ganjbakhsh Hajwari rahmatullah alayh. And you can imagine when all this is happening, what would be the state of a person. But Data Ganjbakhsh Hajwari rahmatullah alayh, he stayed content. He stayed patient upon all this treatment of theirs. And he, alayhi rahmah, he said in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, O Allah, had I not worn the clothing of your chosen people, then I would have definitely distanced from them. Allah. Meaning he's staying within them. He's not secluding himself from them, he's staying within them. And he's saying that had I not worn the attire of your chosen servants, I would have distanced from them, I would have gone away from them. And ulama, they mention over here that Sayyidi Data Ganbakh Shajveri rahmatullah alayh, he knew over here that to attain certain ranks, you have to go through certain tests.
Yeah.
And those ranks are not attained without going through certain tests. And you can imagine going through all these difficulties at the end of the day. Sayyidi Data Ganbakh Shajveri rahmatullah alayh, through his humility, through his affection, through his kind conduct, what rank did he receive? That Sultanul Hind, Sayyidi Khwaja Mu'inuddin Chishti Ajmeri rahmatullah alayh, even he took blessings from Data Ganbakh Shajveri rahmatullah alayh when he stayed at the blessed shrine of Data Ganbakh Shajveri rahmatullah alayh. What did he say? Ganj bakhshe faiz-e alam mazhar-e noor-e khuda na khisara peer-e kamil kamil ara rahnuma. What does this mean? That you are the one who distribute treasures. You are the one from whom the world benefits, the world gain blessings from you, and you are the manifestation of divine noor. You are the Peer-e-Kamil, the perfect guide of the weak, and you are the guide of the most perfect. You are the guide of. So this is what Khwaja Mu'inuddin Chishti rahmatullah alayh, he mentioned about him. And then Rizwan, there are many, many other attributes that we can talk about, but affiliation, nisbat, this is very, very important for us to understand. Sayyidi Data Ganbakh Shajveri rahmatullah alayh, he from the side of his father, his lineage meets that of Sayyidina Imam Hassan Mujtaba radiyallahu anhu. And how is it? His lineage from the side of his father is Hazrat Makhdum Ali bin Sayyid Uthman bin Sayyid Abdul Rahman bin Sayyid Abdullah bin Sayyid Abul Hassan Ali bin Sayyid Hassan bin Sayyid Zaid bin Sayyidina Imam Hassan Mujtaba radiyallahu anhu bin Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem.
And he departed from this mortal world.
He departed.
In Safar al-Muzaffar,
he rahmatullah alayhi departed at the age of approximately 65 years, and his last shrine is even the focal point of the devotees of Data Ganbakh Shajveri rahmatullah alayhi, even today in Lahore. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his choices of blessings and mercies upon Data Ganbakh Shajveri rahmatullah alayhi, and forgive us all without accountability for his sake.
Allahumma, especially because of many shared such personalities when we discuss, to be honest with you, these few minutes, they are very less, but we are just getting the blessings of their dhikr, of their mentioning, and so many points are coming in my mind. There are so many accounts which can be discussed in this program, but time doesn't permit us. We've got our last segment, that is Fatiha and Dua. Let's include that. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ud'uni yastajib lakum.
Supplicate to me, I will accept it.
Respected viewers of Madani Shin, now it's the time to include dua. I would request everyone to raise their hands. Inshallah, our brother will recite a kalam, and followed by that kalam, inshallah, we will be making dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wherever you are sitting, leave all the works, focus, attention, and sit in front of Madani Channel's TV screen, and ask your children, ask your family members, they can come together, and let's make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's first listen dua ya ash'ar, a few couplets which are also again dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Kab gunahon se kinara main karunga ya rab, nek kab کب گناہوں کے مرض سے میں شفا پاؤں گا اللہ, کب گناہوں کے مرض سے میں شفا پاؤں
میں بیمار مدینے کا بنوں گا یا رب کب میں بیمار مدینے کا بنوں گا یا رب نزعہ کے محبوب دکھا اللہ نزعہ کے وقت مجھے جلوائے محبوب دکھا تیرا کیا جائے گا میں شاد مروں گا یا رب تیرا کیا جائے گا میں شاد مروں گا یا رب قبر میں گئے نا محمد کے نظارے قبر میں گئے نا محمد کے نظارے ہوں گے حشر تک کیسے میں پھر تنہا رہوں گا یا رب حشر تک کیسے میں پھر تنہا رہوں گا یا رب اذن سے تیرے سر حشر کہیں کاش حضور اذن سے کاش حضور ساتھ عطار کے جنت میں رکھوں گا یا رب ساتھ عطار کو جنت میں رکھوں گا یا رب کب گناہوں سے کنارہ میں کروں گا یا رب نیک کب ہے میرے اللہ ہاں بنوں گا
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين يا ربنا يا ربنا يا ربنا يا ربنا يا ربنا يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا غفور يا غفور يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك ثبت قلوبنا على دينك يا الله يا كريم يا رحمن يا رحيم يا رب المصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم الله يا كريم يا رحمن يا رحيم بارك الله رب ذو الجلال We do not have any good deed which can be presented in your pure court, Ya Allah. But Ya Rahman, your mercy is immense. Your mercy is great. Ya Allah, forgive us. Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, forgive our parents. Ya Allah, forgive the whole Ummah of Rasul alayhi salatu wa salam. Whoever is watching right now, Ya Allah, they're raising their hands, they're asking forgiveness from your pure court, Ya Allah, forgive me. Oh, brothers and sisters, Ya Allah, those they're raising their hands and asking for dua. Ya Malikum Wala, Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, Malikum Wala. Those that are ill, give them shifa. Those that are worried, remove their worries. Ya Allah, those that are in need, Ya Allah, Malikum Wala, Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, you know what is in our hearts, what is in our thoughts, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, each and everything is revealed. Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, you are aware of everything. You are aware of our hajat, our dua, our pleas, Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal. Accept our lawful, jaiz hajat, dua. Brothers, they request for dua, Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal. Accept their hajat, accept their dua, lawful, jaiz hajat, Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal. Protect us from all sorts of calamities, Ya Allah. Calamities of this world, calamities of barzakh, and calamities of hereafter. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal. Protect us from the name of Jahannam. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, make us enter into Jannatul Firdaus, Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal. Malikum Mawla, make this dunya and the hereafter better for us. Allahumma Rabbana, atina fi dunya hasana, wa fi al-akhirati hasana, wa qina adhaban nar. Ya Rabbi Zul Jalal, accept the dua. Malikum Mawla, ye kyun kahun ke mujhko ye ata ho, wo ata ho, wo do ke hamesha mere ghar bhar ka bhala ho. Matti na ho barbaad, phase mar bhi ilahi, jab khaak ude meri Amin. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabih. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatan wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya rasulullah. Ya Allah jaddami ba'asihu sadnehu rawzai rasulullah. And we recite shahada, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh.
Jazakallah khairan. That's all for today, inshallah. We'll be back next time. Same channel. Keep watching Madani channel. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ud'uni astajib lakum.
Supplicate to me, I will accept it.